Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. What a beautiful church.
It's beautiful.
Amen. Amen. I feel that there are many, many young people in church who should be. I mean, this stage, we should be accosting Bishop that the stage is too small. Do you see? It's to expand the stage. So Bishop, why did you make a small stage? Because we want to dance and you have given us a small. How many think that what I'm saying is a good thing? Yes. Many young people should be joining the choir, joining the dancers. You know, we should be holding Bishop's leg. The stage is too small. We need a bigger stage. Amen. But are we in a good place this morning? We are in a good place. The best place to be on a Sunday morning is Ayensu River Estate, Makanere Church International. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet at this time. Please stand to your feet. You know, when you go to a dinner, one day somebody will take you to a dinner, like a proper dinner. Do you get me? Not the banku and fitri dechi that you've been eating in your... No. That's not what I'm talking about. Like a proper dinner. Oh, let's be serious. Do you see? Dinner with courses. See, there's a first course. There's a second course. There's a third course. You know, sometimes a course can just be like something church is like this. You put it in your mouth and that's, it's a course. Yes, it's a course. You know, I am saying this to say that everything that we've done so far has been small, small courses. The main meal is about to be served. Amen. I want you to put your hands together for the main meal. Now, to serve us with the main meal this morning is, you know, the Bible says in this thing's good. No, sometimes the pastors also miss it. So don't be critical of the past too much. It's our way. Look, the Bible says that in a large house there are many vessels. It's a must know scripture. In a large house there are many vessels, and some vessels are unto honor, some are also unto dishonor. Amen. God has chosen an honorable vessel unto us this morning. Amen. How do you know an honorable vessel in the house? An honorable vessel is the vessel or a plate, a cup, whatever, that is prepared for the king. Do you see? You, when you go into a home, there's another vessel that is used behind the door. You have to enter the door, lock the door, then you squat on it. It's also a vessel, but it's not so honorable. Do you get it? But this morning, we have a vessel that has been prepared by God in a great house. Are you there with me? You have left me. An honorable vessel to transmit unto you the mind of God for you this morning. Last week, I was terribly blessed by the message that came to us. Too much. And I can't wait to hear what God has to say for me again this morning. Amen. With Jesus' joy in your hearts this morning, First Works experience, shouting and clapping, I want us to receive to our international pulpit the servant of God, the vessel of God for us this morning. Our pastor, your pastor, our bishop, the bishop, Edwin Morgan, Ogo, make some noise. Make some noise unto the Lord and shout.
Clap your hands. Clap your hands. Oh, you won't clap your hands. Clap your hands. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lift your hands to the Lord and ask Him to speak to you. Ask Him to speak to you. Tell God to speak to you. Tell the Lord to speak to you. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. I want to hear your voice, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father. My life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I do believe that we are all doing well. And we are also very happy in Christ. I want to show you. Something about where you are in the world, not in the church, in the world. In 1 John Chapter 5, verse number 19. The Bible says, "And we know that we are of God. And the whole world you can put the scripture up yes and the whole world lieth in wickedness." That's the first message God wants to bring us today. I'm sharing the second part of the message, the narrow way. And the Bible says that we know that we are of God. So you and I are of God. And But even though you and I are of God, when we say God, we mean everything you get from God. His protection, His kindness, His love. Some of you have not experienced love before. The love of a parent, the love of a mother. You are just born and thrown into the bush, and you've just survived. But when you are with God, you experience His love. God is kind, very kind. In fact, one of the biggest things about God is that He is merciful. Yes. That is, mercy is overlooking. Another word for mercy is overlooking of faults, overlooking of mistakes. God just is merciful. We are of God. We enjoy God's protection. He delivers us from evil. But it's not the end. Even though we are of God, the whole world lies in wickedness. I'm showing you where you came from. Where you came from. Where I came from. It's a wicked place that is full of labors, struggles, hardships, annoyances. That's the meaning of wickedness. Annoyances. The world is full of annoyances. The world is full of harassment, perils, wickedness, evil. So it is in this evil world that God, the evil world of murder, deception, the evil world of disappointments. Many of you have not seen the world. You are soon going to see that the world is a very, very wicked. Everybody try and look through a door. Find a door. Look to see outside. Some of you, when you look through, you see a tree. Some of you see a wall. Some of you see an uncompleted house. Some of you see things around. Yeah. It's a very, very evil place. Your school. You can go to school. Your mother will take you to school that go and learn maths. You come back and what you have learned is how to have sex with your PE teacher. The world is full of disappointments. Most of what we are looking for, we don't find it. Most of what we are wishing to have, we don't get it. Now, it is in this world that God gives a little space for you to enter and enjoy life. It's called the abundant life. Turn your Bible to John. God is giving you an escape. And you will see right there it said John 10:10. I am come that they might have life
So once again, you can even see the picture here also. That the world is a world of stealing, killing, destroying. Killing of your dreams, stealing of your dignity, stealing of your vision, stealing of your health. Yeah, one habit you can develop can take your health away. As a young girl, yeah, one habit you will develop can take your beauty away. As a very pretty young girl, juicy, nice, pretty, colorful, nice girl, then just a habit of just sleeping with men, just fooling around. By the time you are 25, you look like a 46-year-old. So there's a lot of stealing. Say stealing. Yeah. There's a lot of killing. Kill, 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 including kill as in coffin killing. But a lot of things are killed. Many of you are alive, but a lot of things have been killed in your life. It's been killed. Some of you are dead boys walking. You are dead already. There's no hope for you. Many of you have got certain things stolen from you. A lot of things in your life. I mean, you are just 17 or 15 or whatever. But a lot of things have been destroyed. Destroyed. Your sense of purity. Morality. Yeah. Some people sitting here this morning are thieves. Be careful. Check your phone well. There are thieves in this room. And they are thieves not because they are bad people. But they've been destroyed. The friends they fell in have destroyed them. I mean, destroyed.
Wickedness.
The whole world lies in this type of thing. Wickedness. Stealing of your things. Killing of your things. Destroying of your things. Then he says, but I am come.
Oh, beautiful.
I am come.
Beautiful.
Look. That they, the people who have been killed and destroyed, they might have life. Yes. So there is life after death.
Wow. Wow.
There is life after death. Many of you are not even 20 years, but you are dead. You are sitting here. You are dead. You are a dead boy. But we are promised that there is life after death. There is life. That's why I said we know that we are of God. There's an island where God's people are. Even though that island is still in a world of wickedness. And ladies and gentlemen, let's not. I wish we had a Bible. I don't know when they would develop that type of e-Bible where the words of Jesus are in red. Then the rest are in white like this. But this, I am come that they might have life. So that life, if you are here and you are interested, if you want to jump to that island, where there is life, peace, joy, righteousness, normal life, normal mind, if you are interested, if you are interested in escaping the world where there is stealing, if you are interested in escaping the world where there is killing, if you want to escape the killing of your destiny, the killing of your beautiful life, Everybody is born with a plan. God has a plan for everybody. But right when you're taking your first breath and you breathe in the air in the world, then evil enters. Satan enters to begin to destroy the original plan. So by 15, where you are is not where God intended for you to be. That life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. That life, watch it. If any man be in Christ, Christ is that island. Yes. That's why Paul said, okay, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. So tell your neighbor, you can be new. You can be made new. Tell the other person, you are not a bad case. Except in Christ. You are not a bad case. If you want to be in Christ, you will not be a bad case. Say, you are not a bad case. Tell the person, I say you are not a bad case. Except you don't want to be in Christ. You're not a bad case. If any man be in Christ. Ask your neighbor, can you be in Christ? All things are passed away. The killing of your life, the destroying of your life. You don't need to destroy your life, my sister. All things can pass away. Some things in your life today can become history, past. I'm so happy that I am the one preaching to you. I had a certain life. It is old now. It's in my past. Ha! And I'm not the only one. All these church mothers standing here, you don't know where they have come from. Kai. And he says again, you see, he started with new. Then he ends again. He said, behold, all things are become new. Tell the person, you can become new. I welcome you today to the life. The life. If you want the life where you are being destroyed, you are being destroyed. You are being killed. Your life is being killed. Your future is being killed. Your health is being destroyed. You can stay away. You can stay away. How many of you want life? Yeah.
Good life.
The whole world. Don't be impressed by this type of Mercedes-Benz, BMW, air-conditioned toilet, nice glass building. It's all... The most disappointment of... I said this. The most disappointed place... In any city, are the rich areas, places of disappointment, I should say. If you want a place where there's happiness, Go to the slums. Go to the zongos. This type of rich area, nice tarred road, nice house, water is sprinkling on the lawn, flowers, when you press a button, the gate opens, there's a fountain, it's all depression and suicide and rubbish. What are you talking about? Who is interested? Who wants the life of Jesus? I can't see your hand. How many of you want to be in the world where there's wickedness? Wickedness. How many of you want it? The wickedness, annoyance, harassment, hardship, evil. How many of you want it? How many of you want to escape that type of life and come to the island? The island, from that place to the island, there is a narrow path. There's a, to get to the island, it's not easy. You see, to get to the island, to get to the island, there's a road you use. That road, there are problems on it. The road you use. Okay, let me ask you again. How many of you want to escape? You want to escape the wickedness? How many of you want to one day be in your house, you and your husband with your two children? Nice life. Yeah. How many of you want a life where you are not an alcoholic? You are not on drugs. You have not destroyed. You are in a decent life. Yeah. The place to enjoy that life is an island. Now, to go to that island, there are problems. But the problems you will experience, the problems you will have going to that island, cannot compare to the problems you have living on the, in the mainland of wickedness. He said, come to me. Matthew 11:28. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that labor are being harassed. They are carrying burdens. Pornography burdens. Teenage pregnancy burdens. Witchcraft burdens. Come to me. All Matthew 11:28. Come. Come, those who are experiencing problems, I will give you rest. But the next verse says that, take my yoke, verse 29, upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. So, the road from friend of Sino, mainland where there are, take me to 28, the road to the mainland where there are heavy burdens and heavy problems, to the place, the mainland where an island where there's rest. Verse 29, rest. The road will require some yokes, some problems. You escape problems by having problems. You escape problems Nobody escapes problems by an easy life. That easy life will pile more problems. Any problem you want to escape. So one day I took my son. He's a doctor now. I was a pastor of a church. And the church was being built. And I noticed that it was not serious. I don't know. He wasn't serious. He wasn't learning. As for my first child, she's a girl. I took her to a place where they were selling plastic buckets and chamber pots. Plastic, not wooden chamber pots. Plastic chamber pots. And I showed her, I said, this is your future. You'll be sitting here and learn and working. You'll be selling buckets. I told her, I said, if you don't change your ways, she didn't change. So if you don't change your ways and the school fees I'm paying, you don't become serious. I'm just telling you that I can't do much. You sell chamber pots. It still didn't change her. All she needed was a change of school. Yeah. Which I also didn't know. But as a pastor under authority, my pastor removed me from a church I had been pastoring for 14 years. He said, leave. So in leaving, I had to change my children's school. So that is where that girl, who was not serious, met a set of twins called MFA and MNU. They, some mysterious something, they changed her life. And she became serious. And when she became serious, she moved from 24th in the class to 4th, 3rd. Passed with high marks to Wesley Girls. Won a prize there. And entered medical school. I have never had to pay any headmaster money or visit a headmaster. So she ended up not selling buckets. She's a doctor today. That girl is a doctor. I'm saying something. But that is not even the one. The second born was also not serious. So he, fortunately, my church was, we're building the church. And they were plastering the gable inside. So there were scaffold form work, scaffold and bamboos. And the laborers will carry the mortar and climb up. They'll be passing and they'll be up there plastering. Mortar. So I took him and I told him that if you continue not to be serious with the school fees I'm paying, you don't want to learn. This is your future. I said, this is your future. But he was different from his sister. It affected him. I said, see how to climb. I said, start climbing now. He couldn't climb to the second pole. I said, do you know how to go there? I said, can you do the plastering? I said, no. That's why I said, that's why I'm paying school fees, so that you'll be a lawyer or an engineer. But I can see that you are not serious. I was trying to let my son escape a life of difficulty. It's difficult. I was somewhere just yesterday, just interesting. Some people were working, 2 days ago, I was with you, Bishop Joe. Some people were working on some scaffold. We had a large crash. The scaffold had collapsed. I still don't know whether anybody got hurt.
It's a difficult life.
Difficult life. And I told my son that in order to escape this difficult life, you must live a difficult life. You see, you don't escape that life by relaxing and not going to school. An easy life does not give. An easy life does not lead to an easy life. So he became serious. That thing I did, I think it affected him. It didn't affect the girl. It affected him. Now he began to have a difficult, serious life. Serious. He began to study. Hey, when I go to his room, he's sitting up in the night, learning, difficult, not sleeping. His eyes are red. And and today, that boy is also a medical doctor. See, I'm saying that you escape a difficult life by living a difficult life. You don't escape a difficult life by living an easy life. That's why Jesus said that, come to me, all of you who are living a difficult life. I will remove the difficult life from you. But the way to live, to remove the difficult life, is to give you another difficulty. But it's not as terrible as the life you are escaping. No life my son lived as a student, no difficulty he experienced can come close to what was ahead of him. You escape yokes by taking up yokes. Anybody who does not take up a yoke will never escape a yoke. Order to take you 10 hours to understand, it's up to you. Anybody who doesn't take up a difficult life will never escape a difficult life. The way out of difficulty itself must be a difficult road. But they don't compare, even though they are both difficult, the difficult road is small in comparison to the difficulty that is ahead of you. Ladies and gentlemen, the same applies to the way to the island. The whole world is in wickedness. To escape the wickedness, the hardships, the difficulties, you must pass through a road that is difficult. But that difficult road, the difficulty on it cannot compare to the difficulty outside what you are experiencing. And there is nobody who can escape difficulty without difficulty. Nobody, anybody sitting here who is having an easy life is headed the next stage, not present one, the next stage of your life is suffering. It's a prophecy you can take away. If you are listening to me, if you can hear me right now, say, it is my expectation. I don't know where you live. I don't know what you are doing in your life. Whether you are a student or you are a worker, I don't know anything. I don't even know your first name. I know your surname. I don't know your first name. But I'm telling you that as you sit here behind this keyboard, if you are living an easy life, if you are not living a difficult life, the next stage of your life will be unbearable. When I see people in a church taking it easy, there are about 30% of the time, the pity I have is not even for them, it's for their children. Yeah. You see, I was working as a doctor. All the money I earned, 90% of that money went to my children. A lot of what you are doing, you may not know it or you may not accept that. Tomorrow, where you are going, I mean, you yourself, what do you need? How much food? Please sit down. How much food can this body eat? Most of your quarrels on Tuesday at work, it's all the children. So you are actually living for your children. If you make money, it's for your children. The problems you are creating are also going to pass on to your children. That's why God said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. You should be careful. Me, look at me very well. I'm not living an easy life. This is my fourth service. This is my fourth service this weekend. I'm going now to my fifth service. Laugh at me. Laugh at me. But you are going to meet something. Mommy, I'm telling you that any life you are living, that you don't want to see the area. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The area where you are stressed, you have difficulty, you can't sleep. That stress and difficulty is going to lead to peace. Don't clap your hands. I'll take it again. The hand clap didn't send the message out. The area where you are stressed, you have difficulty, you can't sleep, your muscles are tired, you are spent. That area, the next thing happening is peace and money and ease. No hand clap. The area where you are relaxed, you don't want to exert yourself, convenience, that area, the next step is difficulties and hardships, unbearable. So most of us, in our wisdom, we choose. The area where we are stressed and we have difficulty and we have sleeplessness, where we choose the difficulty and sleeplessness is where fools choose. Let me now come home. I was doing upper six. Everybody here has two places in life. Your education, your work, carpenter, doctor, he does business. Here. See, sorry. CEO. That's here. And then this is Christian life. Not Christian life. Work for God. Work. Work, FL, pastor, reverend, bishop, lady reverend. Most people choose the stresses of this place. Because you see, God says that in James, he says that you always choose first. If you choose going down, he will lift you up. If you choose lifting up, he will bring you down. So most people who choose difficulty leave God the only option of giving them rest. But most people abandon the work of God. Don't choose the stress of the work of God, and rather choose the stress and sleeplessness of their work, their secular things. But what they don't know is that the Bible says that it is this one, this work, which is not in vain. This one, soon you will discover that it's useless. By the time the money comes, you are not well. I wish I can take you to my fridge at home. The cakes, the drinks. Is it Fanta? Is it malt? Cakes. When I open the fridge, I just take water.
Oh! All the drinks.
Yesterday, I was served with water and fruit juice. Pineapple fruit juice. Passion fruit with pineapple. And so I saw one was pinkish, one was yellow, and a bottle of water.
Claire.
I just took the water, I drank it, ate my food, and I got up. You are seeing the drink. See, as I'm speaking, you dear, you want a polytank of Coca-Cola. I'm saying that most people don't know that it is the work of God that gives you something you can enjoy.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 15:58. Wow. Doing something for God, winning a soul, attending a church, singing in the choir, helping to clean the church. That one, there's also a reward, but the reward is not dollars. So because the reward is not dollars, we give our energy to the dollar work. And by the time you have finished using the dollars to arrange yourself, you can't even walk properly. There are people who build mansions and they live in the boys' quarters. The last one I saw was in this Lagos. The owner of the house is in the boys' quarters. He can't walk. Which upstairs? I'm saying to you that the way out of difficulty is not an easy life. It's a difficult life. The world lies in wickedness, 1 John 5:19. And the way out of that world is not a relaxed Christian life. Anybody escaping evil or difficulty and harshness with an easy life will discover that you've come back to the harsh, a harsher life. So Jesus said, come to me, all of you who labor and you are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you an easy life. But the way to the island, the way to the easy life, said, take my yoke. You can never escape difficulty without something difficult. Those of you who are living an easy Christian life, you will discover that you will be in church and suffer the wickedness of the world in the church. I am not suffering. I'm not suffering the wickedness in the world, which creeps into homes. I don't have it in my house. But I'm suffering. You can see I'm suffering. This is a nice, fresh Sunday morning. And if this is my fourth service, then I'm suffering. I must be suffering. But this suffering is milder compared to the harshness that is ahead. If I don't do what must be done with difficulty. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said, narrow is the gate. Matthew 7. It said, enter in. New Living Translation. Matthew 7, verse 14. Verse 13 says, you can enter God's kingdom where there is peace. Remember, for the kingdom of God is life and peace, and righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost. I said the kingdom of God is righteousness and joy, is life and peace. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose. So if you are living an easy life in the church, you have chosen that one. It's your choice. You prefer the ease of church life and rather the difficulty of your secular pursuit. You chose it, and you will have yourself to blame one day. Verse 14. But the gateway to life and health and peace and joy and righteousness is far better than an unrighteousness. It's far better for me to live with my wife. We have problems, we quarrel, we go to our pastor, Bishop George, he settles our quarrel, we are in the house, we are happy, sometimes we are sad, sometimes we are angry. I like this one. Okay. Than impregnating six girls. And then one also got pregnant. When she was aborting, she died. I've got my wife here. So I've added funerals. And I've added outdoorings. I go to a place and a nice, respectable boy comes to greet me. Say, oh, what's your name? But my name is Edwin Ogo. Hey, who's your father? You are my father. My dear, I prefer to be with you. Let's quarrel. It's okay. The gateway to life is narrow, and the road is difficult. The road to life is difficult. Anybody who told you that you can just relax. The prophet said, woe to the people who are at ease in Zion. Zion, don't choose ease in Zion. Rather, choose the Zion stress. If there's a place to choose ease, you may want to choose somewhere else. Don't when you have a chance to choose, don't choose the church as a place to relax. There's a war on you. You have joined a place. Like as we are here, if the rain falls, it will not hit us. There'll be no rain on us. There'll be no water. We'll be here for 14 days. Rain. We'll be dry. It is when you step out that the rain will beat you. You chose to step out. When we see that you are wet, your wig is wet, your blouse is wet, your skirt is wet, it means you chose to leave the place where there was a roof. and you chose to enter, it's you. Your decision is what has made you wet. Your decision to choose is here is what has brought you some walls. And whether you can link it or not, it's up to you. That one is up to you. Like Jack and the beanstalk. When Jack brought the seeds, the mother was angry. In a fit of anger, she just threw it out of the window. When they woke up, there was a beanstalk. Whether you planted it with joy or anger or ignorance or whatever, all we need is the beans contacting soil. How it contacted it is not a problem. Something is good. Some of you, there's something growing out of your life, and it's because you chose the church to be a place to relax. You chose your walk with God. As the area of your life to be stress free. But the gateway to life is very narrow. And in fact, by the time you pass through, either your dress is torn or there are scratches on your body. It's tight. If you have never heard a prophetic message, you are listening to one. I am predicting each one of you in 20 years' time, pick this message, listen to it. You will know that you chose the life you are in. And you see the word, choose the 14, a 13. I saw chose. Yeah. Many who choose. No road happens to a person. You have just got married yesterday. Yeah. How your marriage will be next year. Or next year is too short. 5 years from now. Whether you will be wearing the wedding ring or not. Depends on you. You choose the life that continues. I have been wearing this ring for 30 years. This same ring. This same ring, I've been wearing it for 30 years. People try to say, oh, something happened. There were evil spirits in my family. On my wedding night, my auntie brought me Abba Boy. That Abba Boy spoiled my marriage. And I had a dream. And do you know the dreams I'm having also? You choose. You are choosing how tomorrow will be like by what you chose to do today. I'll take it again. You are choosing how next year will be like by how what you are choosing to do today. Your choices are your choices. That's why we have to read our Bibles and know the consequences of choices. I used to have pity. I used to. It's all vanished. Since I got to understand that people take decisions. And because they don't read the Bible, they don't want, even the pain, you see, the pain, mommy, of taking a Bible. And matching your behavior. I was just asking you a question this morning. Even the answer you gave me, you just spoke in a certain way. After speaking in a certain way, a lot of people will not take the Bible and open it and see what are the consequences of the way I spoke to my husband. If you read Proverbs, you will know that the consequence is that I will choose to be at the rooftop. Many husbands are running away from their wives. And the wives think that is the Abba Boy they ate from the auntie. Grandma's Abba Boy. That's what she put something in the Abba Boy that is spoiling my marriage. But what you don't know is that if you were to match your behavior, the Lord says, Anybody who comes to God must know that he's a rewarder.
That's right.
All what God is not healing, he's not prospering, he's doing nothing. He's just looking at your behavior and giving you appropriate rewards. That's all he's doing. Appropriate. 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 You are choosing your life. The road. Are you intending to one day be told by Jesus that, well done, enter my rest? How many of you are intending one day that Jesus will tell you, well done, enter. There's fire in hell. Don't go there. Hey, Peter, move him to the side. How many of you are hoping that one day you hear, or you are hoping to hear the word, I never knew you. I don't know you. I don't know you. Now, if you don't want to hear, I never knew you, then listen to me very carefully. That the road which takes you, see, once again, to the peaceful heaven where the angels are flying and all the rivers are crisp and crystal, pristine environment, and the voice of God plays like a Bluetooth speaker, and all the flowers, when he speaks, the flowers just open up. There's just heaven and there's no pain. And the road is gold. And anybody who wants to choose that life, understand that the road to that life cannot be an easy road. But the gateway to life in your marriage, life as a pastor, life as a businessman, life in your family, the gateway to life is always narrow. I want to end by showing you. Last week, I began to talk about 10 difficulties. Anybody who is not experiencing difficulty in your walk with God, you are headed not to the place where life is. And I'm not only talking about heaven. I'm talking about here on earth. The first difficulty you will experience on the narrow road. Did I give you any difficulty? The difficulty of breaking worldly habits. It's so easy to sit here, add hallelujah and praise the Lord with your fornication and the sex you are having with somebody's husband and your pornography. It's so easy. It's easy. But if you want to stop unbeliever music, if you want to break up with the girl for Jesus, anybody who cannot point to something you have stopped because of Jesus, you have not given yourself to him. Breaking of habits, including the habit called laziness. It's difficult to listen to gospel music you don't enjoy. When there's unbeliever music, you feel the beats. So yesterday I was sitting in somebody's car. I traveled and I was in somebody's car. The person was playing some beautiful jazz. When I looked at his on the screen, he said, this is gospel jazz, something on YouTube. Okay. Oh, I've not heard some before. Immediately I asked him to send me the link. Okay. Very nice. Wow. I never knew there was such good music. Wow. I mean, what I know is yes, wa. Mesomwa radio. That in the music video, they just their hand is like this. Yeah, they want me. Then somebody is playing, singing, be boom, 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 wow. In one man, it one, in front of a hotel, the fountain in the hotel, in front of the hotel. Useless. But it is better to listen to that difficult music than to be listening to Asake, hey, and Burna Boy and Davido. It's better. It's easy to enjoy Davido. It's easy to enjoy Stone Boy. It's easy to enjoy Shatawale. But to break that habit, you don't want to break that habit. You don't want to stop listening to unbeliever music. You see, you want to add medal, medal, number sumu. You want to add that song to Stone Boy because it's easy. Let me tell you, easy eases you out. Anybody looking for an easy life will be eased out. Have you not? You didn't go to school. We, when we're in class, we go to the toilet, we go put our hand there, go and say, please, I'm going to ease myself. Because the toilet comes out ease. That's what I say. It's ease. Not constipation. Ease. See, it just comes out nicely. Ease. Brown. With spots inside. Ease. You are in the choir. You want to add fornication. Number two. Oh, I gave you only one. The difficulty of leaving worldly friends. Yeah. Some of you don't want to leave your worldly friends, unbeliever friends. You want to be with your unbeliever friends. Discuss evil things. Talk about pornography. Your friend last night, Saturday, how what he did to the girl. Where one leg was hanging. Where the other leg was. And they are talking and you are laughing. Again, you don't want to stop it. He said, come out from among them. Come out. Please, since you are useless, please close the computer and just go and see someone. Come out. You can never come out of the difficult life without coming out of worldly friends. Come out. Second Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore, come out. Anybody who cannot point to people you have come out of their friendships. You are an unbeliever. Wearing an orange shirt and dancing. If you can't point to unbelievers you have stopped, and that your current friends, there's no unbeliever among them, you are not really out. Number three is what? I gave you two. Number three. The difficulty of denying yourself the pleasures of sin. Pleasures. Pleasures of sin. Pleasures of sin. One Sunday, one church service, you cannot rummage through the church, find somebody with a laptop, talk to the person, can I borrow your laptop? Not this taco machine. A proper laptop with verse. You say, can I use your laptop to build God's work? We are having a service. I can't. I don't have money to buy a MacBook. Can we use your laptop on Sunday morning? I'll pass through your house since you look like somebody who doesn't come to church always. I'll pass through your house and collect your laptop. When we close, I'll bring it. I won't do anything apart from the word of God I'm projecting. No, she wants the easy life. That on Sunday you've dressed with your makeup and your nice Abba boy hair. Sweatless service. We who are sweating are fools. I'm talking about the difficulty of denying yourself the pleasures. Every sin gives pleasure. When you are an unbeliever, when you are a Christian, sin gives you pain. I'm trying to, I just tried to imagine the feeling I'll get when I fornicate with a girl. Of course, it will be with a girl. How the feeling will be. After that, I don't know whether I'll go and stand in front of a train. I'm just trying to imagine. But if you are not born again, you send a girl a text and say, tomorrow can we meet at 4:30? Sin. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. You are a product of sin. So your body feels very comfortable. Are there ashes in this church? In sin did my mother conceive me. I was shaped in iniquity. Your shape is a sinful shape. You see my muscles, my body. This shape is, you are looking at sin. Sin is coming towards you. This is sin. So anything that is sinful is very, 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 very at home with this body. Anything that makes this flesh happy. That's why food puts a smile on your face. And even the idea of fasting changes the look of your face. There are pleasures in keeping your old friends. There are pleasures in continuing your pornography life. There are pleasures. When you steal somebody's phone, you feel good. There are pleasures. Like this Sunday, as we are in church, you are at home, resting because your left foot is paining you. You are at home. But I don't know what my where is paining me. Which of my wheres is paining me? Anytime you disobey God and sin, there is some good feeling. My dear friend, don't enter the kingdom of God with good feelings. That is why you must not be in church and copy the things people do. Don't watch how a pastor behaves. Don't watch how a pastor comes to church. Don't watch how a singer attends rehearsal. Don't watch how a bishop lives his life. What he does with girls in secret. Don't! If you even happen to see what the bishop is doing with the girl in secret. Don't! Let the word of God be your guide. The word of God be your guide. And leave people to enter their problems they have chosen to enter. It's so easy. We're having Good Friday. When we close, we should be able to go out, give flyers, invite people, get their names, right? Keep their name, call the person on Wednesday. I'll pick you Friday. So Friday, or it's going for Good Friday. You've got people, five guys you have called in the area. It's not nice. It's not nice. It's far better to go to a pool party this afternoon and see girls in bikini. And tomorrow you are just with your friends watching movies. You see, sin in Hebrews 11:25, it was said of Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Enjoy the pleasures of sin. I want you today to take a decision that anything that is sinful, that gives you pleasure, is what you are going to sacrifice and put away. The pleasures of drinking. There's nothing like being with your friends and you all have your beer and Guinness. It's so nice and easy and relaxed. Pleasures of sin. You can't walk with God if you are given to a life of pleasures. But the Bible says the pleasures you give up, once you can make your way to the right hand of God, there are pleasures forevermore. Remove the demonic pleasures from your life. Seek the pleasures. Listen to me. It is not boring to walk with God. It's exciting. It's a good life. It's a wonderful life. It's a sweet life. I'm telling you that the pleasures of sin are the fake counterfeit that Satan has presented so that your mouth will be full of rubbish and not have any space in your mouth for the real pleasures. When I'm in God's presence, listening to a message, reading a book, you've not known it. Give yourself the privilege of enjoying the pleasures that are at the right hand of God. Don't think that the only pleasures are the pleasures you get from listening to unbeliever music, watching pornography, useless things. In the afternoon when the choir master hears, you are sitting in your house watching Netflix, a movie. I'm not talking about pornography. It's an easy life. It's pleasure. Number four. What's number one? Number two? I can't hear you. Number two. Number three. Number four. The difficulty of learning new Christian habits. Ephesians 4:24. That ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. The new man is a dress that you wear, and it's a very tight dress. Yeah. The woman will tell you, it's not a small thing to wear a tight dress. You can actually dislocate your shoulder. There are shoulder dislocations in the hospital which are from a woman dressing. When you see them wearing their things, you have no idea the cranes they have used in their bedroom. The new man is a dress put on. It's not a cloth you just throw over your shoulders. Certain dresses, and the dress of the new man is a difficult dress. You see, if you want to learn new habits, The new man with new habits, prayer habits, Bible study habits, church going habits, Christian friends habits, they are difficult. If you have not lived a life for 10 years, 10 years you have been with men and boys, or boys to men. You began with boys and ended up with men. Suddenly you must stop it and be in a choir with nice Christian brothers who don't sleep with you. It's difficult. Many girls don't know how to be with a boy. Many boys don't know how to be with a girl and not sleep with her. Say habits. Say habits. There are habits. One day your pastor will teach you Christian habits. Yes. There are church going habits. Yes. Church going habits. One of the habits is that you don't forsake the gathering of people in church. You don't stay away when your church is gathering. There are habits of prayer. There are habits of reading your Bible morning and evening, day and night. These are habits and they are difficult. That is why many of you do not practice those habits. You don't. You just like to be walking about, you don't read your Bible. Who can see that you don't read your Bible? Taking a Christian book to read. It's a habit. Knowledge acquiring, acquisition, it's a habit. That's how the devil will not destroy you. What you don't know is going to be the hole the devil will pass through to destroy you. That's why we read. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why we read our Bibles. We read books. We sit in church for our pastor to preach to us. Knowledge. There are habits. And none. You see, let me tell you, anything that has to do with the kingdom of God is difficult. Prepare to do difficult things. Prepare. I'll give you one more. The difficulty of being under authority. The difficulty of being under authority. The best way to judge a person's spirituality is not by looking at the person's title or where the person sits in the church. The best judge of a person's spirituality is the person's response to authority over him and instructions that come to him. You will know. Don't use a person's prayer life. Most people who pray a lot, go to Facebook now. You will find people insulting their pastors who prayed this morning. I will repeat myself, because sometimes when I speak, because I speak in a certain way, you may not hear it. I said, the best way to judge this man's spirituality, whether he is spiritual, is to observe his response to authority over him. Satan's spirituality was seen when he said, I will not be under God's authority. Anybody who is demon possessed, you need at least a sprinkling of evil spirits in you to have a contradictory attitude towards authority. When you come to God, it's not just God we have come to. It's not just a general assembly you've come to. You've come also under authority. And there are different levels, from the bishop of the church to the youngest pastor. Your response, Jude verse 8 says, likewise, King James, all these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignitaries. It's just one thing. They despise dominions. They don't want to be dominated. In fact, the spirit that is at work in unbelievers is called the spirit of disobedience. And if you have lived your life in disobedience to your parents, your big brother, your big sister, your headmaster, rebellious life, and you come to church suddenly and you must be under a pastor. A pastor says stand, you stand. Go, you go. Come, you come. Most people have difficulty being under subjection, and they expect people to be subject to them. I saw a mother angry with her daughter just a few days ago, and that mother cannot even take an instruction from the church. It's called the split minds of schizophrenia. Yeah, it's a mental condition. It's a mental condition. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you. The rest is your assignment. And submit yourself. Obey them. Listen to me, my dear friend. Listen, I'm not talking about things that are easy. That's why you can be here. You see, in fact, I need to finish reading Hebrews 13, 17. I will show you something there.
Show me.
Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls, comma, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. The authority over you will one day be called, whether you will enter God's kingdom or not will depend on the testimony of an authority person over you. The Bible says that they may give for they give account. As obey them and submit yourself as they that must give account. They must. Every pastor over you will be part of your judgment process. They must give account. So see, once again, the difficulty of submitting yourself to authority, if you can endure it, is what you let you enter a place of life. Because no authority is easy. Because your flesh, you see, the Bible will not tell you to submit if it was easy. Anything the Bible says you should do is something which is not easy. So you have seen that there's no verse in the Bible that tells you to breathe in and out. There's no verse in the Bible that has told you to eat 3 times a day. There's no verse in the Bible that has told us a normal life to be walking about. The walking is a spiritual walk. The things the Bible tells you to do are difficult things. And one of the difficult things is to, because you see the doors that are open here. It means something. It means that you are here by your own choice. It means that you can choose to put yourself under Bishop George. And if you don't want to, Charlie, nonsense, foolish pastor, just get out and go somewhere. It's your choice. But if you choose to be here, if you've chosen to be here, then it is also a choice to be under the authority. If he says we are going to win souls, my pastor says, if he says we are having a service, I can see. He's supposed to have a service at 6:30. I'm sure he's having difficulty. Because he cannot even get pastors to come to church early. And no man does anything alone. That to have pastors, leaders, some of you are fellowship leaders. I've seen a number on the wall. It must mean something. You can't get leaders to obey. We sit in church, we do what you want to do. You sleep with a man you want to sleep with. You won't marry. You are having sex. You are fooling around. Tomorrow Sunday, next week Sunday, you can choose to come. Today you are here because you wanted to be here. You felt you should come. If it enters you not to be here next week Sunday, you will be in Accra. We won't see you in the church. You are not under any borders of the. You are. You see, when you see them doing, it's one of the definitions of passivity. Yeah, people are passive when they only do the things they are told to do. You've not said I should arrange chairs. Actually, I was arranging chairs, and you said I should stop arranging chairs. So if the chairs are not arranged well, hey, you said I should not. I was projecting. Even the laptop was open. You came and did this. Now you are looking for a verse. You are saying, why should I? Yeah. It's passivity. They only do what they are told. So if for 1 year they have not been told to do anything, they will never use their initiative to do anything for God. It's a type of passivity. If you've chosen to be here, it means you've chosen to be under difficult leadership. Nobody, there is no instruction that is given here that is pleasurable. Because where we are going, we need difficult things to take us out of that difficulty. That's why you've noticed that even though the room is hot, we are not sharing cold Fanta. We are not here to do easy things and make you comfortable. We are here to lead you into the hard and difficult things. Are you ready? Are you ready? I see people are fanning themselves. Yes. You can imagine what I'm going through. But I'm preaching. And watch me. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere in life. The road to the island is a road of difficulties. One of them is the difficulty of being under authority. Many people cannot be under authority. And their rebellion leads them into Satan's arena. And he destroys them. The safest place to be is under the authority of God's chosen people for your life. You are safe when you are under authority. You are safe when you come because they said come. You are safe when you go because they said go. You are safe. You are safe. You are safe. You are safe. But it is difficult. Today I came to talk to you. That the road out of yokes is to carry a yoke. The road out of difficulties is to take on difficulties. The road out of hardships is to bear hardships. And that's why I've listed to you some of the difficult things you must not run away from. Like what? Like the difficulty of breaking worldly habits. It's difficult. Do it. It will take you to life. The difficulty of leaving worldly friends behind. It's difficult. They will call you Osofo. They will call you antisocial. They call you Krife. Do it. You will see that a day will come. You are classmates. You have classmates, but there's nobody in your class. The difficulty of denying yourself the pleasures of sin. It's nice to masturbate. It's nice to fornicate. It's nice to watch pornography. There's no feeling like that. But can you bear the difficulty of having data on your phone?
Free Wi-Fi.
And you have not gone to a pornography website. You are rather on dagiwardmills.org watching videos. Can you? It means you're not ready to take the life God has for you. No life of God is free. Every life of God is paid for by difficult choices. And the difficulty of being under authority is not easy. We are not here to tell you what is easy to do. What is easy to do is that sleep. You say then all sleep. Or the service starts at 7:30, come at 10 o'clock. Yes. That's easy. And we are not here to encourage an easy life. Any church which encourages an easy life is leading you into perdition. We are here to walk that narrow and difficult road. And if you have any faith in God, expect that the next place you will be is a place called life. Stand to your feet. And bow down your heads. Bow down your heads. As we close the service, if you are here today and you are not born again, I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in a simple prayer to Christ. If you are here, I want to say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to be born again. If you are here like that, you can lift up your right hand. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Jesus as your Lord. You want to say, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender to Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift your hand high. Lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. I see your hand. Just want to come to Jesus. You want to be close to him. You want to make him your master. You want to make him your Lord. Lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If your hand is up, please come to the front here. Come here. Come. I want to pray for you. Oh, clap your hands for them as they come. Clap your hands for them as they come. Let's welcome Bishop George to lead them in prayer.
Hallelujah. If you are standing in front, I want you to lift your hands. And congregation, can we join them? I want you to say this from your heart and mean it to the Lord. You are not saying it to me. You are saying it to the Lord. I want you to repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Oh, congregation, please join me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. I thank you for today. I know that I am a sinner. But I come to you as I am. Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Wash me.
Wash me.
With your blood.
With your blood.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
With your precious blood.
With your precious blood.
Write my name.
Write my name.
In the book of life.
In the book of life.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Come and live in my heart.
Come and live in my heart.
Come and be my Lord.
Come and be my Lord.
Come and be my master.
Come and be my master.
I will serve you.
I will serve you.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my
life. I will not serve Satan.
I will not serve him.
But I will serve you.
But I will serve you.
And I will be with you.
I'll be with you.
In heaven.
In heaven.
One day.
One day.
When you return.
when you return.
Now I want you to say, Satan,
Satan,
I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
I will follow Jesus.
I'll follow Jesus.
I will not obey you again.
I will not obey you.
I will obey only Jesus.
I will obey only Jesus
for the rest of my life.
For the rest of my life.
Thank you, Heavenly Father.
Thank you, Heavenly Father,
for sending Jesus.
For sending Jesus
to die for my sins.
To die for my sins.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Wonderful. Wow. I can't tell you how excited I am to see you give your life to Christ. You know, but this is the first step in a lot of steps you have to take between where you are now and heaven. I want you to follow our dear lady pastor who is waving her hand. She's going to say a few things to you and then you'll come back and join us. Okay, so please go after her. Follow her. She'll say something to you and then you'll come back. I see Malachi. I see Janet also. Kenneth. That is a blessing. Amen. Wow, what a message.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.